Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
So, like, if you had to pick one team that is not even on anyone's radar right now for a Super Bowl prediction, this can just be a wild, random pick, okay? I've got my team. And I think you know where I'm going here. The team that has the fifth worst odds to win the Super Bowl right now. The Houston Texans. All right, guys, welcome back to the Establish the Pass podcast presented by Clutch Points. I'm your host, Blake Bubba. With me, as always, my co-hosts, Dylan Reagan and Dylan. We are back here with another episode of the podcast coming off another week in the NFL season. And now as we get ready to move into week five, we're going to do something a little different here in terms of looking ahead and try to make some predictions for the rest of the 23 NFL season. And some of these may be bolder than others, Dylan, of course, but we're going to do our best to kind of come up with some really bold predictions here for the rest of the season, even though only four games played, but that at least gives enough of a sample size to start forming some opinions on teams, players, coaches, all that.
Yeah, it used to be the quarter point of the season. Now we have the extra game, so it feels a little... But it still feels kind of like a benchmark point. It would have been perfect if the last games were on September 30th. It could have been like, all right, here's the first full month. Yes, it went on October 1st, but still have a better idea. Some things that happened in week one, like Josh Allen's struggles that a lot were made of, and rightfully some of the mistakes he made, and now he's playing like a cyborg again, and the Bills look like potentially the best team in the AFC. So, yeah, things change pretty quickly, and that doesn't mean they're not going to change back a different way over the course of the long season. But, yeah, definitely some trends and some things I feel much better about predicting now than I would have if we tried to do something like this after the first week of games.
All right. We're going to do this by just certain sections we've got kind of outlined here, and we're going to give some thoughts on kind of each of these and make some predictions given sort of the category that we have here. But, yep. Of course, Dylan, we always talk about towards the end of the season, who's getting fired. And we're four weeks in. It's time to start forming our opinions on the guys who could potentially get fired sooner rather than later, given the state of their team. You and I probably both agree that Matt Eberflus getting fired by the Bears at this point, probably not a bold prediction, but no. It is something that, like, I think this thing could happen way sooner than maybe most expect at this point. Like, usually a guy gets pretty, a lengthy run, right? He gets a chance till, I don't know, game 14, 15, something like that at times. But I don't know, Dylan. This thing is this thing's spiraling pretty quick for the Bears. So maybe it's not a bold prediction to say that he gets fired, period, because I don't see another alternative right now when you think about this team potentially having the top two picks next year and all this other stuff and just a complete restart. They play at Washington, home against Minnesota, home against the Raiders, at the Chargers, at New Orleans. Like, that's their next five games. They probably win one of those somewhere, I guess, but I don't know. After the way they lost that Denver game, like, I wouldn't be shocked if Eberflus, and given the Chase Claypool stuff, which I know has been kind of weird, media people are like, why is he telling us this? And one thing, like, all kinds of stuff like that. I don't know, man. This thing could get ugly quick in terms of, like, his job security the rest of the way.
It's been a mess. I mean, you wanted some progress. We talked about it before the season, even if we didn't think the Bears were going to be a contender for a playoff spot. Like, I know that was potentially a fringe belief for some Bears fans, and you want to have optimism and hope, but all you really wanted was to see progress. And again, there were moments on Sunday where it felt like, all right, maybe, yes, the Broncos do have a historically bad defense, the worst defense that DVOA has ever had through 4 weeks of a season, which is insane. That's not something we thought was going to happen, but nonetheless made Justin Fields look great in the first part of the game. And then by the end of it, they still find a way to blow it. And it's like those moments where even when you want to feel good, everything kind of spiraled downhill. There was a lot of some questionable decision making, or not even decision making, but play call decisions on that fourth down in particular. I know a lot of people wanted to see Justin Fields do the Jalen Hurts tush push. Didn't happen. And maybe you also just kick a field goal. I mean, there's a number of things that have gone wrong for the Bears, but it's things like you just mentioned with what's going on with Claypool. After the first week, a lot of the great, there's so many great Bears beat writers, but writing about just the you know, how shook the building felt after that week one loss to the Packers. Just one game, again, like we're talking about here, that you can't make snap judgments off one game. And sure enough, it seemed to kind of set a tone for where this team has gone over the first few weeks. So, yeah, to say Eberflus is going to be the first coach fired isn't bold. I think, like you said, the timing's bold, maybe more so part of it if it's sometime earlier. I don't know if there's a point in that at this point. We'll see. I know they just hired Kevin Warren, right, as the new president of the whole organization at the top. And, you know, maybe there's questions if Poles is still going to be the guy, but maybe that he does stay. And some teams don't like to always hire the coach and the GM in tandem, like the Lions did, for example, with Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell. They might feel like, all right, maybe Poles is making some personnel decisions that are fine, but we need to have a new head coach. So it could happen earlier for that reason. They could also just clean house. It's a lot of questions, but like you mentioned, they might end up with right now they have the number one and two picks at the top of the draft. That's a pretty promising start for a new offensive minded head coach. I don't know what at this point though. Are you just giving up on Justin Fields? It's a messy situation that's made it just so. I feel so bad mostly for Bears fans and Fields. Even if you don't believe that Fields has the potential that the Bears did when they drafted him in the top 10 with that, or the top, just outside the top 10. I forget if it was 9, 10, or 11, but man, I just feel bad about everything that's happening there. It's just, there's so many fun stories in the NFL, and this is one that unfortunately has been pecking at us. And yeah, just kind of the way that they blew that huge lead against the Broncos summed up a lot of things for the Bears. And yeah, it's the only, even when we put into the coaches on the hot seat through the first quarter of the season, I couldn't really find too many where I felt like there should be, in my mind, way too hot of seats beyond Eberflus. I put McDaniels on here with the Raiders. I don't know, with, seems like Mark Davis is pretty committed to seeing this one out. There are some personnel decisions that have been solid, but other ones that, right, it's really early to judge on a rookie, especially on the edge. But yeah, Tyree Wilson obviously off to kind of a tough start so far for the Raiders. And obviously all the things that happened with Chandler Jones, just Davante Adams comments weekly that seem to be like he's trusting things, seem to be maybe a little disgruntled. It's definitely not a and some of the comments he made about Aiden McConnell after the game were kind of weird. Kind of, you know, it's a backup QB, doesn't know he's for sure going to start the whole week. And I thought he played okay for the most part, made some bad decisions, but not crazy to see those things happen. He's also getting mauled by Khalil Mack, obviously, with 6 sacks. But man, it was weird, kind of, to just something that, for example, you would never hear Sean McVay or a lot of head coaches say about a quarterback, that are always going to be the guy to take the bullet, essentially. He was one that I put on there. There's a lot of other teams, though. I don't feel like, I'm not feeling, even with, and we'll get to the Bengals in the panic section, I'm not feeling like Zach Taylor's in any danger, even if there are questions about the sophistication of the offensive game plan. I'm not going to be crazy enough to say that Bill Belichick should be in any trouble. I know there were some players were asked questions about that after the game yesterday, and I was like, what is happening? And then even like Robert Saleh with the Jets, like you mentioned, like that, I know there were some questions about if Rodgers was healthy the whole season, but man, this team's fighting. So I really had a hard time, compared to maybe other years, of finding too many coaches that I felt like were really in tough spots here. A lot of new, or coaches at least in new spots, like Frank Reich, where it's, you're not gonna, we've seen some unprecedented year one moves, but they have to be absolute disasters, like what we saw in Denver and Jacksonville the year before with Urban Meyer and Hackett. So yeah, it's kind of a one-man show here for me, with Eberflus, and maybe McDaniels is a fringe number two, even though I think the relationship with Mark Davis has him secure at least for a bit longer.
I sent you a message. As of this second, we're recording this, Josh McDaniels, if you go to Wikipedia, his Wikipedia, this will be removed by the time everyone listens to this probably, but his second season with the Raiders, if you look at the finish that is currently listed on his Wikipedia page, you know, he was third in the AFC West for the Raiders in 2022. As of this season, 1-3, and the finish is called Super Fired, is what someone has added in there. So he was fired by the Broncos in 2010. A Raider fan, perhaps, saying that he will be super fired by the Raiders as the finish of this season. So there you have it, Dylan.
Maybe we'll edit that into the video of this podcast. I just took a picture of it before it's gone.
So there you go. It will be gone soon, I'm sure, but it is at least worth noting right now. That is the projected result, according to Wikipedia. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think these are the two top candidates here. And, yeah, maybe not that bold, but I don't really see a lot of other contenders right now in terms of firings. So, we'll see what happens.
Before we get back to our discussion, let me take a moment to tell you about our amazing sponsor, Factor. With football season already in full swing, you might be looking for hearty, convenient meals for jam-packed game days. Between setting multiple fantasy lineups last minute and taking care of chores around the house before the first slate kicks off, I don't always choose the healthiest meal options on Sundays. Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit, can help you fuel up in no time for breakfast, lunch, and dinner with chef-prepared, dietitian-approved, ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time, eat well, and stay on track with your healthy lifestyle. One of the best parts about Factor is you get to skip the extra trip to the grocery store, as well as the chopping, prepping, and cleaning up, all while still getting the flavor and nutritional quality you need. You can choose from 35-plus weekly flavor-packed, fresh, never-frozen meals that meet your preferences. They're ready to eat in just 2 minutes, so all you need to do is heat and enjoy before getting back to the game. Last Sunday, I had the blueberry pancakes with cinnamon butter and chicken sausage, and it was as delicious as it sounds. The perfect way to kick off a full day of watching football. If you're looking for calorie-conscious options to counter the extra couch time on Sundays, try Factor's delicious calorie-smart meals with around 550 or fewer calories per serving. Head to factormeals.com/establish50 and use code establish50 to get 50% off. That's code establish50 at factormeals.com/establish50 to get 50% off.
All right. Let's move on to like the trade deadline, because if you're projecting ahead, you're making predictions, trades are always something that we're already talking about trades, and we are here in week four, and we were talking about trades weeks ago and all this. And so, Dylan, I think this is the best one in terms of the number one guy I think that everyone is looking at, and because we heard it as soon as Aaron Rodgers went down, everybody's trying to connect Kirk Cousins to the Jets. Are the Jets going to trade for Kirk Cousins? All this other stuff. But everybody wants Kirk Cousins traded, I suppose, at this point. Maybe some fan bases don't want him to be the quarterback of their team, but everyone looking for options in terms of the trade deadline for Kirk Cousins. Do you have any bold predictions for Kirk Cousins being traded this season from the Minnesota Vikings?
It wouldn't be bold to say he's not going to be traded, so I gotta find a spot. I mean, the Jets make
so
much
connection.
Sense. There's teams, the Jets are the only one that really makes a ton of sense in terms of that QB away. And you saw it last night when Zach Wilson played quite well for large portions of the game, where it's like, all right, you do have a competent QB play, this is what it could look like with this offense. And Garrett Wilson just feels like he's ready to go off at any moment. So in terms of Kirk Cousins' trade destinations, there's not really, outside of that, like a ton, unless you like, this would be bizarro world if the Titans could try to get him. I just don't see that. But trying to think of like any other, there's not really a lot of teams where it would make a lot of sense. Maybe the Falcons, if they could find a way. But again, it's the Vikings are in a, Kirk has a no trade clause. He seems quite content there. And I think the Vikings, I mean, as an offense, we'll see if they're able to, I believe he's a free agent in the offseason. See if they're able to re-sign him, but their success rate, offensive DVOA, pretty much any like major stat, like they're cooking at the top 10 or so, top five in some cases. Let's see where they are on offensive DVOA. Just outside the top 10. So I mean, they're close, and Kirk's played relatively well. Yeah, he had that pick six against the Panthers, but fought back, and overall we've seen this team with a few different bounces of the ball, they'd at least be 2-2. In the NFC, they're definitely not out of the race by any means with how things have gone. So I mean, the Jets are, I would love just for the storylines, but to have to learn the whole offense mid-season, it's not a simple thing. Anyone that watched the quarterback show on Netflix saw how meticulous and detailed Kirk is, and how much he wants to plan ahead and wants to know everything as well as possible, and how that could be difficult. The Vikings would really have to slide, in my point of view, and I just don't see them having that kind of slide. But teams that outside of the Jets, if you want to be like really bold with it, like I said, I feel like the Falcons are one that I don't know if it's the right system for him. They'd have to probably open things up a bit, but I think they have some of the personnel to do so. I know there's some frustration with Arthur Smith, maybe more so with the quarterback though. So maybe that's your dark horse team that, like, I've not heard any rumor by any reporter about the Falcons is making as a possible trade destination. But if they think they have a shot in the NFC South, and I think they certainly do with how anemic the Saints offense has looked, and if depending on what you think of the Buccaneers being able to sustain what they've done. I know some teams, players on the Bucs that were before the season mentioned as trade chips, and now at 3-1 have kind of simmered there. But yeah, I don't know. Do you think there's anything legit to him possibly going to the Jets, or do you think that Kirk is most likely going to also stay as a Viking?
I think this would be much more interesting conversation had they have found a way to lose that game to the Panthers. But I think the fact is that they won to move to 1-3, and now it's like, you know, Chiefs are coming off a tough game against the Jets. They get the Chiefs at home. Look, offensively, they can put up some points here. Defensively, I don't know. Then they get the Bears after that. So, like, you really think about it, like, they can completely right the ship the next couple weeks. All you need is kind of a, you know, quote unquote, upset win against the Chiefs. And then you got the Bears, who are atrocious. So, I mean, yeah, it's not. Then at that point, like, why would you if you're the Vikings? You're right back in the thick of things. So, I think had they lost that game, which it did look like for a while there, right? You're like, oh boy. If they lose the Panthers, then sell everybody. Like, it's over. Like, let's move on here. But I think the fact that they won that game now sets you up where if you beat the Chiefs, you should beat the Bears. You're back to 500, and all is well again. And you do still have Justin Jefferson there, by the way, too. So it's like, maybe it's me as the Justin Jefferson fantasy owner. I don't want to see Kirk Cousins going anywhere.
No.
But I just think with Jefferson there, you trade Cousins. Think about the frustration that could exist with your best player. All of a sudden, maybe you get, I'm not saying the same situation, but we remember like the A.J. Brown Titans stuff. He gets traded to the Eagles. Like, you don't want Justin Jefferson to kind of put you in that position where it's like, oh, boy. So, nope. Yeah, I just don't see it happening. I could have seen the possibility if they were 0-4, but I think there's a big difference, at least right now, the way the schedule sets up between 0-4 and 1-3, you know, and maybe there's a way to turn this thing around. So,
yeah, it just doesn't feel like it's quite there. This is one that's maybe keep on the radar. It's going to continue being a conversation because everyone wants to talk about trades and it's not even just, you know, sites like Clutch Points and other media outlets. It's former players and current players and people speculating why it should happen. So I don't know. It's one to keep. Just keep on the radar. But like you said, you're going down an interesting path. Even if, sure, you want to get some assets for him, but they're also still going to, if Kirk leaves in free agency, still going to get a comp pick that's probably going to be quite high. So, I mean, they're already. There's things factored in where it's you can keep him and still not necessarily just completely get nothing if he leaves in free agency. And like you said, the message it could send to players like Jefferson, you're going down an interesting path there. I think the Vikings more likely like the kind of we knew in the offseason it wasn't like a team that went all in thinking they're going to be a Super Bowl team necessarily. They looked more like a team that was retooling, as the Rams like to say, not rebuilding with some of the moves they made. And so far, it's the defense, as we know, that has been a struggle, even if it played a bit better. And a lot of defenses have looked better playing the Panthers. But, this is one I think that what happens in October, the rest of the month, is going to really dictate where the Vikings are. And more so, yeah, maybe it's other players. I know I put on Danielle Hunter on here. He's a guy that a lot of teams that are, you know, more top contenders that have a need at the edge is a possible trade chip for the Vikings. And I think that's way more likely that we'd see him moved. Where he'd be moved, that's a good question. I think teams that I'm trying to like look at the list of teams that need edge help. A lot of the best DVOA teams, I'm not going to lie, are pretty good on defensive line. But maybe the Ravens, they looked, against DTR, a pretty rough first start. Some of the play calling from Stefanski yesterday, a little bit interesting, but nonetheless, that defense has a lot of great players. I think edge rusher is one where they could use a need. So if I'm going to make I'll have one bold prediction. We saw the Ravens last year trade for Roquan worked out quite well. I'll go with Baltimore Danielle Hunter as one of my trade predictions here with some of the players we listed.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, I think. Again, the Ravens haven't been shy about that kind of stuff. So it's, yeah, they try to address, I think, their needs pretty quickly. And so, yeah, we'll see what happens there with that. Anything else on the trade front, I guess? You know, again, there's this list will change as we go forward.
Yeah.
But I'm curious if there's, you know, maybe we have any other thoughts on guys that could be traded. Hunter Renfrow, like I said, is someone that, you know, I think people were somewhat surprised maybe he wasn't traded. But, like, he's still there and could be an asset for somebody, like we said, if things keep going the wrong way for the Raiders. Jonathan Taylor situation, who knows at this point? Like, I no idea. That one's such a hard one to predict because it's like you just don't know how this is going to play out necessarily. So, yeah, those are some of the names, too, I guess, that you could banter about when it comes to trade possibilities.
The Taylor stuff's just, yeah, it's become a little bit hard to just keep speculating on where he could end up. And we're seeing a lot of, like, places like the Dolphins in the offseason that sounded like it would make sense. And then we've seen how their running back room has looked, and they're going to get Jeff Wilson back. I mean, I don't think they have a need there. So it becomes a little harder as the season starts, and maybe if teams do endure some injuries, I'm sure someone would want to trade for him. It's just all about if the Colts are going to accept a package. I just hope they figure it out, because you look at what Zach Moss has done in the early going for the Colts, and didn't have the biggest day against the Rams defense, but early in the season he's been quite good. And what the idea of Richardson and Jonathan Taylor together in the backfield, yeah, it as a Colts fan I'd be a little frustrated, even though so far you haven't really noticed it, because you're just so dang happy that your coach looks great and your rookie quarterback looks great. So, yeah, finding trade spots for him. I know at one point the Browns were mentioned with Chubb going down. They obviously brought back Kareem Hunt and look okay. So it gets a little more dicey. People are joking, like it's going to just be the Eagles giving up like a later round pick and getting him and just adding him to their ridiculous running back room already. And other teams that make sense just aren't there, where I'm like, even if Tampa Bay, you know, they've kind of struggled to run, obviously, and I think there's a little more systematic problems there that I don't think just one running back's going to solve. So it becomes tougher than with Hunter Renfrow. Yeah, he's been effectively phased out of what they do a lot of the time in the offense now. I think he might have had 2 targets yesterday, maybe 3, but just overall isn't getting the snaps he used to, isn't being used the same way he was before. Even when Jimmy was playing. So yeah, that's one where I don't know exactly what the Raiders are getting as compensation, but any team that needs a slot receiver, teams that need, and maybe this is more so going to, as injuries kind of pile up for certain teams, you want a guy that also can go in there and is going to put his nose in the block as a receiver as well. I know Houston feels pretty good about their receiving room, but he fits well into, they already have some guys kind of doing that well. But if you want to add another piece to what Nico Collins and Robert Woods and all those guys and Tank Dell are doing, maybe that's a possible place. But I don't know. Raiders are, it's so hard to predict what's happening there. And like you said, it's one where you thought it was going to happen before and it hasn't now. And you think that he could still be part of that team. So kind of, you know, I think they're, I wouldn't be shocked if he's moved, and in general, if the Raiders make some trades here, and we're not getting too far away. Maybe that's more so than a specific player prediction, but I don't feel it's crazy just to predict that the Raiders are going to be a seller at the deadline and potentially make some moves with an eye again on next year. And I don't think that's the bad the wrong decision, even if the defense did have a pretty successful second half after Justin Herbert's hand got stepped on, making that comeback for the Raiders. So they have a lot of needs that I think, looking to the future, we're not too far off where that should be the game plan for Vegas.
All right, so moving on to some Super Bowl contenders and pretenders. This is always fun to make predictions on these, because you kind of have a, you know, maybe a feel on where you think a team is. Of course, an injury happens and all of a sudden everything changes. But for now, kind of what we've seen from some of these teams, I'm going to give you mine here off the bat. I don't know how bold this is, but I think they are currently, what, 7th, I think, in the pecking order of Super Bowl odds right now. But to me, my prediction is that there is no better value out there for anyone who wants to bet on an NFL future Super Bowl champion, to me, than one of the teams we just mentioned. That's the Baltimore Ravens at +1600. I think that is, if you're just looking for value, right, I think that's kind of low, because they're quite a bit behind the Cowboys, who are the next team in front of them. And they're kind of right there with the Lions too, which we can maybe group the Lions into this conversation. They're at +1800 if you look at DraftKings. But So the Ravens, I think, are a team that I am buying in on. Now, the problem with the Ravens is here's one thing that you can have an issue with. Now, they beat the Texans, they beat the Bengals, beat the Browns. You know, there have been circumstances involved in some of those games. Obviously, Deshaun Watson didn't play for the Browns in that one. News game home, the Colts, all that. But I like what I'm seeing for the Ravens. The problem is that when you look at the final, gosh, their schedule is brutal down the stretch where, I mean, theoretically, I could just go all the way from the Arizona Cardinals game, which even that one at this point, Cardinals are not playing bad football. The Seahawks, the Browns, the Bengals, all three at home. At Los Angeles to play the Chargers, home against the Rams, at the Jags, at the Niners, home against the Dolphins, home against the Steelers. That's a brutal stretch to finish. And by the way, before you even get there, you got to go to Pittsburgh, got to go play Tennessee in London, and they got the Lions too. Schedule's brutal, but I almost wonder if that helps them a little bit, maybe, if they get to the playoffs, win a lot of these games. So I'm going to say I'm fully buying the Baltimore Ravens as a Super Bowl champion contender, even if the schedule could really hand them some losses. I think they could still be tested enough once they get to the playoffs to have a real good chance to maybe be kind of that sleeper team in the mix.
I wouldn't be shocked at all. I think they belong in that conversation for sure. And it's crazy to think what this division was before the season and what, you know, with what the Steelers offense looks like, what's happened with Burrow and the Bengals. And then obviously the Browns being, while the defense, I still think they're going to be really good, even if they finally had a game after giving up however many first downs in the whole season, and then now they give up a few touchdowns. But down to down, they were playing pretty well against Baltimore. It was just a few plays where Lamar did Lamar things, made some just ridiculous throws deep down the field outside the hashes, in addition to using his feet. I mean, it wasn't like the whole game, but it was like 5-6 plays where it was just magic. There's nothing that the Browns could do to stop him. And that's the thing that makes them such a threat with a defense that has gotten much better. They're through 4 weeks now, fourth in DVOA on that side. That's much better than they were last year. Definitely some variance there, but I mean, this is not a team that is lacking a formidable group on that side compared to even the last couple of years. Like I said, maybe could use that pass rusher. Maybe that's the last piece that does make this defense even more formidable and tries to bring it up to the group that's ahead of them with teams like Dallas, Buffalo, and the Browns. So we'll see on that side. You mentioned the Lions. I think that the odds are probably in those places. And even if the NFC maybe is a little deeper than it with the contenders than it looked before the season, I still think the AFC path, you mentioned the schedule, but then you look at the playoffs and the quarterbacks you're going through. I think that plays into the odds there to an extent for why they're so close. But if I had to, like, between just the two teams, if you're telling me it's, even if with all the great things I believe about the Lions have done, and I do think they're some of the defensive signs, I'm happy. Hopefully it looks like Branch is okay, right? I know Brian Branch that has been a stellar rookie for them and had the injury, came back, got hurt again. I think he's, even if he's banged up, it's not going to be something way too long term unless I miss an update. So that, I think what the Lions defense has done is legit. They're in the top 10 in DVOA through 4 weeks. They obviously have one of the most efficient offenses. Even if Jahmyr Gibbs, have fantasy owners are frustrated, they know their style. They're making things happen. They're only going to get better when they get Williams back. And overall, I think they belong in this guy. It's kind of crazy. I don't want to say they're, I think, you know, this list of teams, in terms of can they win a Super Bowl, I think they all four can. I don't think any of them are complete pretenders in that sense of whether they actually, you know, how far they get in the playoffs, what they actually do. I'm not going to be bold enough to say, oh, the Dolphins offense, they've been figured out and they're going to, no, I think the Bills have a special group on defense, and a lot of what played into their favor was their ability to not stop scoring and force the Dolphins to be kind of one dimensional. We see the Cowboys lose that game to the Cardinals, and then they have, the defense looks insane. And maybe we could say more about the Patriots and Dallas, in that game. But yeah, I think even if all four of them feel like they could contend, I think for me, yeah, the Ravens are the one. I think you nailed it. Like, if I had to put the one that I would feel the best about of this group, and it's all because of Lamar. It's because of the fact that even when things are going to be wrong, he's still going to have answers. And because I do believe that this defense is legitimate. Now, maybe Miami, they have health. If they get health on their side, you know, with, you have Xavier Howard still on one side, if you get Jalen Ramsey back for that stretch run and you make the playoffs, and now you have those two corners shutting down both sides of the field to an extent. I know Jalen last season wasn't as dominant as he had been before for the Rams. The conversation might change a bit for what the Dolphins could be. Maybe it's taking some more time for them to come together. But I think if their defense can even take any step up, they've been pretty brutal through the first few weeks. The offense is going to rebound. I don't think they're going to look like they did this week. They're still first in offensive DVOA, both running and passing the ball, despite what just happened. It says a lot about what the Bills' defense is, and they still put up points, but obviously the Bills' offense kind of went nuclear. But I think the Ravens, even if I know you had some questions about Tom Monken and what this could look like, and there's still some, again, down to down against a really tough Browns defense. Didn't look perfect, but just enough plays where that's all it takes, and I think the Ravens are definitely a Super Bowl contender in an AFC that I wouldn't say is lacking any. I'd say there's quite a few teams that I wouldn't be surprised if they made the Super Bowl, and that's what makes the AFC and overall this league so fun. And I think the NFC having teams that are in that conversation on top of the big three. Before the season, I kind of said I didn't think anyone was really going to be on the level of the Eagles, Cowboys, and the Niners. But the Lions have crept up, man. They're definitely winking and hanging out in that group, and I don't think it's just a 1 month blip. Obviously this goes back to the teams that have the best record since like the midpoint of last season through now. It's the top five teams are the four teams that made, and it's still the Bengals despite what happened this week again. But it's the four teams that made the conference championship games last year, and the Lions that have the five best records since like week 9 of last year, and that's not. Not a surprise. I just wonder against the top end teams. Let's see we saw the Lions beat the Chiefs, obviously. When they get into some games against some of these NFC teams that they're going to be having to face in the postseason, I'll be curious how they do. But I think they're at least going to be a solid challenge and have a shot. And that's not something that Lions fans have obviously said many times in the past. Let alone they haven't even won a division title basically my whole life. I think since maybe. Since I was like one. So this isn't a team that being talked about as a possible Super Bowl contender. I think it's pretty nuts. And I think it's a credit to what Dan Campbell and that team have built together.
All right. So a couple other Super Bowl predictions from me quickly. At like the quarter of the way mark, I like to make a Super Bowl futures bet like at each quarter of the NFL season. So I did this before the game yesterday. The one game everybody's talking about, and the Bills odds at the time were like +1,000. So I went ahead and bet on the Bills. So if I had to make my, how bold this is, they're currently at the fourth best odds, but if I had to pick a team to win the Super Bowl right now, I'd pick the Bills. So that's what I would do after 4 weeks. But I'm also going to put you on the spot here too, Dylan. We're going to make our sleeper Super Bowl prediction. So like if you had to pick one team that is not even on anyone's radar right now for a Super Bowl prediction, this can just be a wild, random pick, okay? I've got my team. And I think you know where I'm going here. The team that has the fifth worst odds to win the Super Bowl right now, the Houston Texans, who could be in the driver's seat, Dylan, to win the AFC South. I think it's a real possibility that the Texans could win the AFC South. I love C.J. Stroud. He's been just fantastic so far. I think that team's only going to get better from here. They just trounced the Steelers. They blew out the Jags. So, hey, I don't think the Texans are going to win the Super Bowl. But if you're looking for that just lottery bet on a team or just, full-on lottery pick here, Texans odds are way too short for me. +15. No, it's fifth worst at this point. So give me the Texans.
Yeah, they have the 11th best DVOA right now. I mean, it's not – this isn't just a random – like, they deserve to be much higher than that. And like you said, this division – yeah, the Jags don't look as good as we thought. They're still, big win, obviously, last week. We'll see how they do against, I think, the Bills in London this coming week. Whatever, the Titans defenses look great. Colts offense have some really good things going. But, man, yeah, Stroud has looked unreal. Just it's not just the numbers. It's what they're doing, how they're doing it, the reads he's having, his ability to just subtle movements in the pocket when things do break down. They've had all these injuries in the offense. Like even the best rookie quarterbacks, when their offensive line is basically all hurt, and in some cases hurt to your third guy, they're not going to perform. And he just, against a really – I still think the Steelers' defense is really good and has a good front. He just went off. He was ridiculous. So, yeah, I don't think it's you know, for a really dark sleeper to see where they rank on the, you know, with the advanced numbers versus what we've seen. I think that's one that makes more sense than any other one I'm going to try to predict here. I didn't make, you know, like, for example, right now in DVOA, Seattle's at 10th. I'm not going to predict the Seahawks to win the Super Bowl. If I'm going down as like a deep sleeper, maybe it's have to be a team to make the Super Bowl or to get just deep in the playoffs.
Just make the Super Bowl. Yeah.
Make the Super Bowl. Man.
Because I don't think the Texans are winning.
Maybe the Jets trade for Kirk Cousins.
Now, I was going to say, the Jets may be the best option because clearly we see they can stay in games. But can you bank on Zach Wilson having that kind of game every game? At this point, we probably don't have the sample size to prove that. But if you want to say this is the taking off point, then sure, the Jets should absolutely be much higher because the defense will keep them in games and give them a chance. Yeah. But so, yeah, I think the Jets are probably just that wild choice that makes the most sense because – like, for example, I also thought about the Rams. I know you're going to tell me no chance. But, look, you've got offensive talent there. I know the game yesterday against the Colts did not, you know, go according to plan. They still won the game. But it's still kind of a wild choice for a team that I think, you know, does a good job putting players in the right position to succeed and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I'm with you. Maybe the Jets, just because, you know, this is crazy things have happened before. But I don't think the Jets or the Texans are making the Super Bowl, but I just thought it'd be interesting just to debate that around based on where these teams
are right now. So I think that, I mean, the first point you made about the Bills, I think obviously what happened yesterday is going to influence that. But yeah, after 4 weeks, if you had to like say who the Super Bowl team they're going to face is, would you change it from, I believe you had, do you have the Niners making the Super Bowl? Would you feel pretty good about keeping that probably?
Yeah, I wouldn't change that at all. I think that's, I think they're the clear choice for me. You know, Eagles, we saw yesterday, although Washington's given them fits, as we know. I mean, we go back to last year and this year, but Cowboys, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I'm fully there yet. I think this week, week five, right, is where they Cowboys go win in San Francisco, play well, then maybe my tune changes a little bit on the Cowboys. But not saying they're a bad team. I still think they're one of the best teams out there. But I don't know that I would pick them over the Niners, the Bills, the Chiefs, Eagles. I don't know that I'd pick them over the Dolphins right now. I'd probably still pick them over the Ravens. But, yeah, I think, to me, I'd still have five teams in front of the Cowboys.
Yeah, if I could switch, and this could age poorly if the Cowboys beat the Niners, but if I could switch from my Cowboys making the Super Bowl pick to the Niners, and then, yeah, the Bills, those are the two teams that look the best to me. But I think it's two teams that we just talked about, and the contender or pretender, like the number three and four in total DVOA right now are the Lions and Ravens. Like that, it's not out of the question to think that those teams could make it, and that's kind of a crazy thing, especially for Detroit again. But, I think the Niners have looked, you know, there's a lot of teams that are winning games and 3-1, 4-0. There's not too many 4-0. I think it's just them and the Eagles, obviously. But the teams that are winning games and comfortably, but, I mean, the Niners are everyone they're beating by 2-3 scores. Even, you know, games that are closer for a little while end up pulling away. And like the Rams game against the Cardinals. Cardinals made it a little close for a second, and they end up getting kind of blown out by the end of it. So, I mean, they've been the most just wrecking crew team. And I think Brock Purdy's looked pretty good. A lot of the advanced numbers, even taking into account everything he has around him and who he's facing, have him in the top five QBs in DYAR. Same kind of old Football Outsider stats that Aaron Schatz has. Also in that top five, though, perfect for you, CJ Stroud, right there, sandwiched between Josh Allen and Justin Herbert. I don't think it's crazy, again, to say that he's been, even if I think that the Colts and Anthony Richardson made some just ridiculous Josh Allen-esque throws, getting hit by Aaron Donald down the sideline, like he was playing on another level in the second half, I still think that Stroud right now and what the Texans have built around him and the culture and how they're playing and all the guys buying in. Robert Woods, my man, you know, one of my favorite players, the Rams, you know, great trendsetter for the receiver room. All those guys are blocking really well, like he loves to do. So, I think, if I could, though, Bills, Niners would be probably my like adjusted Super Bowl pick. Maybe every month I have a different one next time. The Cowboys-Niner game, like you said, might be revealing of quite a few things. We'll see if Dallas's defense can cause some more issues than San Francisco's had to face so far. But yeah, that'd be the modified pick. Even if I think the Texans, Jets, kind of the teams that are further down where they're absolute flyers on them. I think for sure, though, value-wise, like, yeah, the Texans should not be behind the Steelers. I mean, they just kicked the Steelers' butt. And I have a lot of questions in terms of, I don't know if I put them on the panic meter for the next line, but they're definitely a team with what has happened with that offense and how just lacking versatility and just so predictable what has happened to Matt Canada. I know he's the fall guy, but this is a plan that was put into place by the whole organization. Man, the fact that, yeah, the Texans are behind them in Super Bowl odds, I'm sorry. We just saw it on Sunday. I don't think that was an accident. They didn't just fluke into that win. That was a beating.
Texans are also behind the Broncos. No thanks.
What is going on here?
Well, I think it's just probably path is my guess. Like, it's based on, I mean, even then, right? Like, the Texans have a much better path than the Broncos to get there. Their division's wide open. The Broncos' division is not wide open. It's clearly going to be the Chiefs or the Chargers. So, yeah, no thanks. All right, we'll wrap up a little panic meter thoughts here after 4 weeks, because it's always fun to panic when it comes to NFL teams this early. Now, I did write something on Clutch Points a couple weeks ago. When the Bengals and Chargers started 0-2, you know, it's really bring up the 0-2 stat for teams that don't make the playoffs. So they're both not going to make the playoffs. So they're both going to miss the playoffs. Now, I feel a bit better about the Chargers at this point, although not. Listen, when Brandon Staley gets opportunities on fourth down, I don't ever feel anything certain about the Chargers. I feel like between him, Josh McDaniel, Matt Eberflus, I don't know who wants to get fired quicker in terms of these decisions that are made by that trio right there. But yeah, the Bengals are, should they be hitting the panic button, Dylan? I think 100%.
Yeah.
It's not just that they're losing, it's the way they're losing. Like, and I think that's the most, like, that game against the Titans to me was every opportunity to, you know, to sort of kind of reclaim your spot after finding. Look, there are a lot of people who thought the Rams should have won that game against the Bengals on Monday night, right? Like, Rams should have won the game. But Bengals found a way to win, you know, kind of an ugly type game at times, but found a way to win the game. I don't know. The schedule doesn't set up that bad unless you look at the back-to-back games against the Niners and the Bills coming up here in a couple weeks. But I think Bengals full-on panic meter at this point.
Yeah, the thing is they had that defensive performance where they wrecked the Rams offensive line. And yes, we saw this week wasn't perfect for the Rams, but much better without Zach Thomas filling in left tackle. They kicked Nopum out from right guard to left tackle where he used to play in backup of Whitworth and brought in Kevin Dotson at guard, and things looked much better last week. So I don't think it is that crazy to say if the Rams had a better backup plan for their offensive line shuffling mid-game against the Bengals that they might have found a way to win. Obviously, a lot of little plays here and there. Tutu Atwell back of the end zone drops a pass, got a little tug. I don't think that there was PI there, but I know some complaints from Rams fans with some of the way the DBs are playing in that game. But obviously, Tutu stepping out. There's a lot of little plays that added up for the Rams falling in that game, and I think the Bengals defense, to give them credit, looked good in that one. But man, they have not looked good overall for the whole over 4 weeks, and that's the problem. Where it's like, if the offense is going to have these struggles, and I don't think these are again, they're not fluky. If Burrow is going to not be able to play at a high level as he can to be one of those transcendent kind of QBs as we know he can be, it's not pretty around him. He does maybe disguise some of the things that they've just relied on him and his talent to take over and make these plays and these reads, and it's just not working right now. In the offensive line, with all the money they've spent, has looked pretty brutal in addition. But it's panic meter's on. Playoff odds for them through DVOA are like 13% now. I mean, it's not just them. It's the fact that this conference and overall has depth, and there's teams that you're feeling, even after what happened to Miami, if I could flip them into a playoff spot, obviously would at this point. Even if the Browns, you have a lot of questions with Deshaun playing, they did look better the week before this one. I think their defense is going to rebound. There's just a lot of teams that are in the mix. The fact that we have now, like we talk about the AFC South more than we usually do, even for it being our division. Like, there's three quarterbacks in this division that feel like they can go win a game at any given time, and then a defense for the Titans that we just saw wreck everything that the Bengals wanted to do. I mean, yeah, they have some of the lowest playoff odds in the conference. I think only the Denver Broncos and the Vegas Raiders have lower at this point, outside of the Jets too. So, I mean, like, panic meter's on, and it's not just for – it's what, you know, this means with, you know, his contract and some of the years that you benefit from the rookie QB deal are coming to an end pretty quickly. There's questions about T. Higgins. Obviously, he has the fracture – that I think is rib fracture or something like that, that's going to keep him out a few weeks potentially. There are questions about whether he'd be traded. He had a kind of a rough performance against the Rams, but it's just more so about he wants a big receiver one deal, and it seems pretty clear, obviously, Chase is the guy, and are they going to be able to afford that? So, I think the fact the defense has looked where it is and the offense hasn't been able to pick up the offense enough like it did against the Rams in week three. Man, they got to get to the what I think they have the Cardinals and the Seahawks next. They got to win those games. If they lose even one and they're 2-4 going into their bye, I don't know. It's going to get rough for this team over the course of the whole season. And it's tough to see with how back to back AFC title games, a Super Bowl appearance, and what this offense can look like. I just don't know. At this point, how quickly they can turn things around. I'm concerned that even if Burrow does get healthier, and it doesn't sound like it's going to be easy to without time off, I'm concerned about this defense not looking quite the same with some of the, you know, losing Jesse Bates, losing Von Bell, and some of the things in that back end just not being quite as pretty as they were before.
Two other teams. Should the Patriots and the Raiders panic? I'm going to give you an answer you may not expect on the Raiders. And we just talked about Josh McDaniels, and I am by no means his biggest fan. But I don't think the Raiders should panic just yet. And the reason why is I think, look, they've lost two close games back-to-back. And I know they had to kind of fight their way back in the game against the Chargers, and, like, you got to find ways to win, right? But you know, they at least had a chance towards the end against the Chargers without their starting quarterback. You probably feel like they should have found a way to beat the Steelers, given all things considered the matchup and all that, but... I mean, look, the schedule they've got, Green Bay coming up on a Monday night. I don't know the Packers. I think the Packers are getting a little too much love right now, and pun intended, I guess, Dylan. But, I mean, I think the Packers, and I think we saw the Lions, what they could do to them. And I think, you know, maybe the Raiders find a way to win that game. They get the Patriots after that. So, again, talking about panic meter. They get the Patriots at home after that. Then they get the Bears. So, like, I'm not saying the Raiders are going to win three in a row here, but it's not unthinkable to believe that they'll actually may wind up being the favorite in all three of those games. Perhaps. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I mean, I think the Packers are like a 1.5-point favorite right now or something like that. But so I don't know that I'm hitting the panic button on the Raiders just yet. Still got some talented players on that team, as we know, and I think they'll be able to run the ball a little bit better against Green Bay, all things considered, what we saw that the Lions do in that game, right? And then again, the Bears just being on the schedule, period. Now, if you lose that game, panic meter full on. But I don't know that I'm panicking on the Raiders just yet. Patriots, I think it's just the offense, man. I know they played a tough schedule. Look, Patriots have played four games against the Eagles, Dolphins, Jets, and Cowboys, right? And that's tough.
It's not going to get much easier, though.
Listen, it doesn't get much easier. Yeah, I was going to say, they got the Saints. They'll play defense this week. Again, at the Raiders. Bills, Dolphins after that, and just kind of keep going. I think it is probably time for the Patriots to hit the panic meter because I just don't think they have the offensive firepower to play their way out of these types of games. Now, the defense will have, you know, better showings like they did against the Jets and such, but it is wild to think that maybe I have more confidence in a Josh McDaniels coached Raiders team than I do Bill Belichick coached Patriots team. And let me just tell you, that was not an easy decision to make, but to me, it's all about the schedule and strengths and weaknesses of the specific team, not the coaching. It's a no-brainer in that regard. But I don't know, Dylan. If I had to kind of, you know, pick one for each, I'd maybe go don't panic Raiders, panic Patriots.
Yeah, I think there's a difference between with the Raiders in terms of expectations too. Maybe it's more so internally they thought they're going to be better than they are. But there's the difference between the Patriots and the Raiders for me is one team I thought they had, even with the toughest schedule supposed to be in the league, right? And as you mentioned, has been for the first few weeks, and it's not going to get much easier. But even considering that, still felt like, all right, this offense, we saw flashes a couple of years ago with Mac and what they could look like. But man, it's just, maybe it was just one game against the Cowboys, but I have a lot of questions about just overall the buy-in, even if everything they say in the press conferences from Mac and all the players that they're fully behind him, and I believe in that, but Mac just looked at a certain point of that game against Dallas like he was just over it. Like it just did not look as engaged as you'd like. So I think the Raiders, for me, even if I still have a lot of concerns about where this organization is, and where if it's really in touch with where it is, and if they should start to kind of look forward more so than they maybe are trying to. Maybe they'll win some games, but what does that actually ultimately lead to? I think if I'm a Raider fan, it's not so much I'm pressing panic, because I was already kind of worried before the season, whereas the Patriots, and as I mentioned, the Steelers are the two teams that it feels like, man, you have good defenses and your offenses are just wasting things for you, especially Pittsburgh more so. I didn't throw them on here at first, but I think that offense, you're a full season after what we saw last year, that just feels like it's going to be lost for Kenny Pickett. And by the time you actually get to year four, year five, maybe you have a couple seasons with a new coach, that you have to hire the right guy to get him going. But I just feel like you're falling behind more so with his development. And I guess you could say something similar with Mac and what's happened with the Patriots. It's been this is the third season now, and it seemingly has gone down each year. And maybe it still looks better than last year, but that's not saying much after what was happening with the coaching staff. So, yeah, I think that the Raiders, even if it sounds crazy, like you said, maybe less panic isn't maybe the right word, just more depression almost for me about where they are. It's some of the draft picks that even if they have retooled things, I still have concerns about where they're going. I think, yeah, Steelers, Patriots, offense in particular, I'm fully pressing the button. I don't blame the Steelers fans for their displeasure with what happened with Matt Canada. And like I said, I don't just blame, it's not just him, it's him, the people putting him in that position to put to a job that he's not clearly been able to. I mean, they have some good players on offense too around him. It just was really striking how Houston so quickly, but their new coaching staff looked so versatile and multiple with their offensive attack and with battered offensive line, versus the Steelers, where it's so cookie cutter. And it's hard to watch. And for New England, I'm sure they're frustrated. They've had some injuries on their own offensive line. Two teams that I'm fully panicking, in terms of not so much even that I thought that they were going to, didn't pick them either of them to make the playoffs, but thought that they could at least be border fringe contenders. Maybe they still can get back to that point. Steelers only 2-2, obviously. Patriots at 1-3. But I'm more so panicking about the development of my young QB on a rookie deal with what has been put in front of them. That's where the frustration lies.
A couple other quick ones for me on the panic button. Panthers, I know you didn't have high expectations, but I think you should absolutely be panicking at this point. I mean, Dylan, if you pull up the Panthers schedule, find me more than a win on there right now, and that win comes via the Chicago Bears, possibly, in a Thursday night game. All the other games, they'd be the underdog in every other game on their schedule. So,
yeah.
And Bryce Young is, he's not looked the best at times. I don't know, it's not saying it's all his fault, but, yeah, Panthers, I thought they'd be a little bit better. I didn't think they'd be this to this point. And again, the schedule's not going to make it easier, by the way, at Detroit, at Miami coming up next. So, yeah, not ideal. And another team, under the radar panic time, Falcons. We said, right, I thought the 2-0 start was a little deceiving for the Falcons. Desmond Ridder, again, talk about, boy, there's a struggle there. And, Taylor Heineke's the backup, right? And, maybe he comes in eventually, but I know Arthur Smith today, as we're recording this, said that Ritter's the starting quarterback. Boy, they have got to figure some things out. I think that could be one that's kind of under the radar, but yeah. The NFC South, Dylan, we had issues with last year, of course, but these two teams are, I think, could be heading in the wrong direction here quickly.
Yeah, I'm worried about the Falcons for sure. My pick of them winning the division. I don't feel good about anyone in this division. Tampa probably feel the best about, just because at least their defense has been quite good, and they have really talented skill players, and I think Baker can play at a serviceable level where it's going to be enough for this team to win games. Yeah, the Falcons offense looks terrible. It had moments of, and I guess maybe that's not the wrong word, but it has looked just completely lacking any explosiveness outside of if Bijan's able to just make five guys miss, which he does do at times. You're feeling great about what he can be as a player, but man, I'm looking at those QBs that number three pick that the Arizona Cardinals had. That was a trade chip that ultimately the Texans trade up to get Will Anderson. And you're looking at what Richardson's doing for the Colts. I'm looking, if I'm the Panthers, at the two guys behind Bryce Young, and maybe, you know, you can say the circumstances for those guys are better than the Panthers, but that didn't mean they had to be. Before the season, we didn't think necessarily that was going to be the case, that the Panthers had such a better situation than Houston and Indianapolis. And we've just quickly seen with not just the QBs that they've drafted, but the coaching hires with what D'Amico and that offensive group that they brought over. I'm blanking on the Texans offense coordinator name, but the guy from the 49ers as well, that under Kyle Shanahan has looked fantastic with that attack, and what Stroud's looked like and what Richardson's looked like with Steichen. It's, the Panthers are definitely, the panic for me isn't about the 0-4 record. It is about what the other two rookie quarterbacks look like and what mine does. Yeah. I don't think it's that bold after 4 weeks. It's probably maybe you could say it's an overreaction a little bit to say that the Panthers will ultimately regret not drafting Stroud or Richardson and taking Young. But through the first part of the season, that feels quite apt. And also with the coaching hires, we'll see if Frank Reich and the team can turn things around. But it's been tough, and I know they think it's personnel related. They're looking for a number one receiver now. That's the latest thing. It's like what that actually means for the team this year. I think it's more so, again, about having an answer for Bryce and trying to help him out. And I think Bryce, in moments when guys have been open, he's been okay. I think coaching here, I would be really curious what Bryce would look like in the other two situations with the staffs they have. I don't know if it's as to blame right now, but that, if I'm a Panthers fan, I'm definitely worried. It has my attention. And Falcons, I'm at least for the Falcons, we kind of knew that this might be a season where they figured out that Ridder was not going to be the guy, or maybe he was going to prove it. We still have some way to go, but so far it doesn't look like that's the case. So now it's like, did we have that chance to trade up and get Anthony Richardson, or you know, the whole thing where I don't think Lamar was really ever available, as the Ravens made it sound like he could be, but there was a whole thing where no team, including the Falcons, which was like easily made the most sense for so many reasons, should be interested, and it was came out that they weren't. It's like, what are we doing? So I think that for them, I'm not panicked, but I'm like looking at the QB. That's why I mentioned them with Kirk. I'm looking at any options. All options are on the table for me if I'm the Falcons to try to figure out that position, because I do think the defense has a chance to be solid enough. And I do think they have some interesting weapons, and they might need to open things up a bit more if they get a better quarterback. But right now, this system might win you some games, and it might win this division. But this isn't like the Lions and some teams that weren't in that top three in the NFC, where I feel like they could ultimately contend for the conference. If I see the Falcons as my first playoff team, feeling pretty good about it. If I'm one of those top teams in the NFC,
well, Falcons, quite a few quarterbacks available in next year's draft. That I think are going to be pretty good. So you know what to 100%. Do at this point. So there you go. Falcons fans won't want to hear that. It's okay. You've only 4 weeks in the season. There's plenty of football to play. So there you go. There are our thoughts kind of on where things stand after 4 weeks. And again, some predictions for looking at the rest of the NFL season. But a lot of stuff like that as well, Dylan, over at Clutch Points. So let everybody know where they can find all of that.
Yeah, you can go to the Clutch Points app to the NFL section. Follow along with all of the games. All of our content is thrown in there. A lot of good stuff. And then also clutchpoints.com. There's the NFL section at the top of the page, the fantasy section. Any waiver wire pickups, stardom, sit-em stuff that Blake's been writing, all that good stuff you can find in the fantasy section and in the NFL section. Yeah, also following every trade rumor, every reaction, overreactions, looking at people to blame for some of these starts for some of these teams. Yeah, anything and everything you can about the NFL, you can find in the NFL section at Clutch Points.
Yep, check it out there. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast, any podcast app you use. Search for Establish the Pass. And thanks, as always, for listening to the podcast. And we'll talk to you next time here on the Establish the Pass podcast.